Talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. Cutting through the clutter, this is the Misty Winston Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, hey there. Welcome to the Misty Winston Show here on today's News Talk. And speaking of the chat, I got to figure out how that works. Hi to anybody who's in the chat. I will figure out how that works so that I can communicate with y'all. I'm really technologically challenged, so we'll figure it out. Okay. Huge thanks to you as always for tuning in today. I'm very excited for today's show. My friend and hilarious comedian Steph Zamorano is here today, but we're going to be bringing her in a little later in the show. Before we get into all of that stuff, we got to talk about RFK again. If you were here for Monday's show, you will remember that my dear friend Pasta and I hashed out our difference of opinion on Robert Kennedy Jr. And his campaign based on comments. So, okay, let's break down just a little bit of where this is all based off of. So a few days ago, Roger Waters was being condemned for being an anti-Semite or whatever, as he has been, they've been trying to smear him with that for decades. Robert Kennedy posted a couple of tweets in support of Roger Waters. Very quickly after that, I don't know if he got a phone call or what happened, he tweeted out again that he supports Roger on COVID and Ukraine, but he was unaware of his position on Israel, and he actually doesn't support that, Roger's position on Israel. And then he ended up deleting all of the tweets, which was a really bad look. And so when Pasta was here on Monday, he mentioned that he was going to be attending an RFK event in New Hampshire, and he was going to be trying to ask a question regarding it while he was there. And so my guy came through, Pasta came through, he asked. The answer was not great. So take a listen, and then I'll give you my take on this.
Mr. Kenny, a lot of people are confused about the tweet storm. I call it the tweet heard around the world. A couple of tweets were put up in support of Roger Waters and then taken down. Do you want to give us a little explanation of why they were taken down and also your stance on Israel and Palestine?
I tweeted that. I made the tweet applauding Roger Waters' courage in opposing the COVID mandates and the Ukraine war. I was unaware of his position on Israel. And when I learned that, I immediately took it down. My position of Israel is that I support Israel. I support, my family has a long relationship with Israel. I support its right to exist and its right to protect its security.
And the Palestinians?
And a humane outcome and a recognition ultimately of the aspirations of the Palestinian people is important for everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. It's not good. Let's get into it. So he starts his statement off by saying he praises Roger Waters for his stance on COVID and Ukraine. He then goes on to explain, like I said, that he was unaware of his stance on Israel. And here's where it gets bad. He then says he supports Israel. His family has a long relationship with Israel. These were both points that I made in our discussion with Pasta. He supports Israel's right to exist and its right to protect its security. Zero mention of the incredible human rights abuses or the apartheid state that Israel is, and zero mention of Palestinians until Pasta came through in clutch and threw out the follow-up question of what about Palestinians, which the idea that he had to say, well, what about Palestinians, really says it all. So RFK gives some, you know, kind of weird response about a humane outcome and a recognition ultimately of the aspirations of the Palestinian people. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? I would like for him to explain, to clarify what a humane outcome and a recognition ultimately of the aspiration. You know what the aspirations of the Palestinian people are? They would like to be able to live in their country without open air prisons, without murder, that they're being slaughtered on a daily basis, that they have, it is an apartheid state. That's their aspirations, is to live out from under the rule of Israel. That's and something that was really disappointing about this video is Dennis Kucinich, who, I'm an Ohio girl, I love me some Dennis Kucinich. He's standing right behind Robert Kennedy Jr. And he is the campaign manager. And that breaks my heart a little bit that he is standing by statements like this. It's not good. Listen, you can like Robert Kennedy Jr. on other things. You can, and I keep hearing all day today, I keep hearing, oh, come on, that's the position of every politician. Every politician has to support Israel in order to get elected. You know what that does? That allows Israel to continue to hide behind this stuff in order to continue brutalizing Palestinians. And so this doesn't change until you start calling people out for it and demanding better. This is what I was talking about before. Israel hides behind these claims that if you criticize the state of Israel, the government of Israel, then you are an anti-Semite and you hate Jews. That is ridiculous. It's an absurd assertion. So we have to start calling this out. Otherwise, this continues and Palestinians will continue to be brutalized. So really quickly, I have one more clip. This is Claire Daly today. She posted this today. She's an MP from Ireland. Check this out. This is a much better take on Israel.
Over 5 days earlier this month, Israel attacked and bombed Gaza 323 times. 10 civilians were killed, 1,100 people displaced. More than 150,000 Palestinian civilians have been killed or injured in Gaza and the West Bank since 2008. 33,000 of those were children. The EU stands by and watches this happen and calls Israel our friend. We construct houses and school in the West Bank. The Israelis come and destroy them. We cannot consider ourselves a union of values and continue to call Israel our friend. We need to have this conversation, but in light of the time constraints that we are now already under, and the positive remarks by some of the other groups that they will facilitate a full and necessary debate on this in June, I'll withdraw it on that basis.
And Claire Daly has been solid on this issue for ages. And again, you can support Robert Kennedy Jr. and still hold him accountable for this. You can't just stick your head in the sand. It's not acceptable. It's an unacceptable position. And he needs, and people keep telling me he's open to change. Okay, then you need to present him with this information and convince him to change his mind, because that's how, we save the Palestinian people. Okay. Don't forget, follow me over on the tweeters at Sarcasm Stardust. You can also check out the Substack, mistywinston.substack.com. There's a write-up every single day for the guest of the day so that you can find, follow, and support their work as well. And while you're at it, why not give TNT Radio a follow? We are on all the major social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. And you can help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The latest headlines.
Politics are getting out of control.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, during a recent interview, Twitter owner Elon Musk revealed that engineers at the social media company had discovered a line of code more than a decade old that would suppress tweets if they contained specific words. Shockingly, or not so shockingly, depending on how many times you've been personally shadow banned, approximately 1,000 words were included on the list. Here with this story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Who would have thunk it? Adam, who would have thought?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of a list guy, so I want to see the entire list. I don't care if there's 1,000 words on there. But then again, I get paranoid when I use social media, and then I might keep that list too close to me, and I might never get anything accomplished. So I say, ignore the list, just do your thing, speak your truth, and worry about it later, right? So what's interesting to me, because I didn't know this, but all of this information was made public during his interview with the Babylon Bee. And if you know anything about the Babylon Bee, it's a satirical news outlet. Usually, it's kind of funny, but a lot of the stuff just a few years ago they were posting out as, you know, they're memes, they're fake. They'll say headlines that aren't real, but some of those things come true a few years later, which is ironic, sadly. So at first I thought, is this for real or is this a joke? And unfortunately, this is very, very real. And I was curious, well, how did the Babylon Bee get involved? Because they were victims of this, probably just like you and probably just like me. So this was during an interview with the Babylon Bee, Kyle Mann. He's the editor-in-chief over there. And they posted this on their Twitter, in case you're looking for it, by the way. He questioned Musk's decision to expose the problematic aspects of Twitter after acquiring the company. Mann asked, quote, "Who takes over a company and then says, look how horrible all this stuff is that's going on," end quote. Yeah, that's a good question. Musk responded by emphasizing the importance of transparency for earning public trust. Okay. He said, quote, "If we're not going to expose the things that were done wrong, why should people believe us in the future? That's why we're trying to be as transparent as possible. Don't take my word for it. Literally look at the algorithm. You should be able to recreate the results that you see on Twitter using that algorithm," end quote. Musk explained that the goal is to reveal any hidden or obscured aspects of Twitter. One might call that a cult. Anyways, he mentioned a recent discovery of a censorship mechanism coded into the platform in 2012, although Musk acknowledged that, quote unquote, censorship might not be the most accurate term for the code. He confirmed that Twitter had a list of words that, if included in a tweet, would result in the suppression of that tweet, which, of course, is their fancy word for what we refer to as shadow banning. Basically, no one's going to see it. You know, we all know about that. He also referred to this as a quote unquote relic of code from 2012. They had a list of words going back in 2012. This is crazy. Confirmed it was still active until just last week. Wow. He also stated that the code applied universally across all tweets. Doesn't even matter who you are or what you are. Even if you're a little grandma and you want to tweet something, better make sure you don't use one of these words. Approximately 1,000 of them were included in the list, and their presence in any tweet would lead to that tweet's suppression on the platform. Musk said, quote, for instance, a tweet containing the word suck. That's right, suck, would not get amplified on the platform. Quote, approximately 1,000 words were included in this list and their presence in any tweet. That's what I just said, but that they were quoting Musk, I guess. Okay, so on top of this, in wake of this news, I guess the Daily Wire, a conservative media outlet, they were going to stream their gender critical documentary, What is a Woman? I think it's like a one-year anniversary. Since they premiered it, they were going to do it for free for 24 hours. And apparently they got knocked off on Twitter and their agreement with Twitter was canceled. But Musk came out and said, oh, wait, that was a mistake. He said, quote, this was a mistake by many people at Twitter. It is definitely allowed. See, what was originally happening was that he wasn't allowed to do this because he was misgendering people. Wow. So, Alex Berenson, in another incident, we all know him, author, former yeah. New York Times reporter, he stated on Twitter that the platform's own lawyers believed that they could not successfully defend its COVID vaccine censorship policies against his lawsuit. Berenson, of course, was banned from Twitter in 2021 over his mRNA vaccine reporting. He alleges that internal documents, which he described as problematic and sensitive, show that Twitter's most senior executives disagreed over the decision to censor him. He further claims that these documents raise questions about whether Twitter banned him due to fear of government or corporate retribution. I would argue they didn't even have to get so hands-on involved if they were just running off of a list. Misty, what do you think?
I think it's funny that Elon Musk is trying to say this is not censorship. Homie, that's censorship. I'm sorry, my friend, but that is censorship. And I'm just curious, as an Assange activist, it is well known in the Assange world, universe, whatever, the people who are involved in the fight to free Julian Assange, it is very well known that if you tweet it out, you're very likely not going to get any traction. It takes a lot to get past the algorithm. And so I'm very curious if Assange is on that list. I'm willing to bet that it is. But yeah, the whole Matt Walsh thing, listen, I'm not really a big fan of Matt Walsh. I think it doesn't matter what I think about Matt Walsh, but it is absolutely against a free speech policy to prevent him from streaming his film, which honestly I haven't seen because I am not willing to pay. You have to pay to see it. It's behind a paywall on Daily Wire. But I'm curious about it. I am genuinely curious about the film and the approach that he takes, the subject matter, all of that stuff. So I would love to watch it. Just to see it. So we'll see if Elon Musk is actually, I know that he tweeted out that it was a mistake and they're actually going to allow it to be streamed. We will see if that is actually the case. He may have just angered Daily Wire and they may not do it now. I don't know. But yeah, this is super interesting. And I think that this is kind of par for the course for, Elon Musk in general. People keep telling me that he's some free speech warrior. He's really not. He's definitely not. Is he perhaps slightly better than Twitter, the first version of Twitter? Maybe. I think that's really yet to be seen. I don't think he's been in charge long enough for a great many of changes to have been made. But this is a guy who has numerous very lucrative contracts with the military industrial complex, intelligence, you name it. So the idea that he is somehow on the side of free speech and the people is just absurd. But we'll see. I mean, what do you think about this, Adam? I saw this come out earlier today and I thought it was pretty interesting.
Well, what's interesting to me because of what I do, I do these news reports throughout the day. So starting pretty early on in the day, I noticed about every hour, there was a new news story popping up about Elon Musk, and they're all completely separate, different. It's almost like, is it like Elon Musk holiday or something? It's weird, because he was just recently, he's the wealthiest person in the world again. He beat out the French designer, I forgot his name, Bernard Arnault or somebody like that. But yeah, Elon is now worth, he's worth $197 billion, if I'm not mistaken. And according to Bloomberg, that means, again, he's the most richest person. Yay for him. Yeah, and then he's all over the news for this. He was running around in China the other day. Speaking of Twitter, people are asking questions now like, hey, wait a minute. How come Mr. I own Twitter and I tweet all the time about anything and everything? He didn't tweet anything about his visit in China. Hmm. What was he doing over there, Misty? Yeah, so yeah, I just don't trust Musk in general. That's my stance.
No, nor should you. I mean, it's listen, Elon Musk, I hate using the word stance because I feel like it's very condescending, and I don't mean to be condescending, but people who, I don't know, idolize Elon Musk, I don't understand it. He is a spoiled rich billionaire who, I mean, it's not like he has worked that hard. His family, he comes from money. He's thoroughly ingrained in the establishment. He's thoroughly ingrained in the military industrial complex. And a lot of the people that support him don't support those things, and yet they're willing to turn a blind eye to it for him. And it's very strange. This whole celebrity hero worship thing is a real problem, I think, in our society. And it's no different with Elon Musk. So thanks for bringing the story to us. I am definitely interested in seeing that list. I don't know if we're ever going to get it. I mean, if transparency is key, Elon, let us see the list. I don't care. It's not going to affect the way that I tweet. I have never let any fear of being silenced or censored or anything. If you follow my Twitter feed, that's pretty apparent. So I don't care what's on the list. I'm still going to tweet how I tweet. But I am genuinely curious to see if the word Assange is on that list. So give us some transparency, Elon. Give us the list. We would like to see it. Okay, hang tight, everybody. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes with our guest right after this here on TNT Radio.
Patrick Henningsen on TNT Radio.
NATO, they've also, you could say they've invaded Kosovo. Yeah, they've sent peacekeeping troops in. And there's NATO police forces in Kosovo to put down demonstrations of Serbs living in Kosovo. Kosovo was meant to be a country. NATO tried to tear a piece of Serbia away and encourage people from Albania to rapidly immigrate, to change the demographics. And at that point, they wanted to create a rump state there, a NATO protectorate. Only the neighbors around in the surrounding areas, they didn't recognize Kosovo as a legitimate country. So they've been holding on to it, trying to turn it into a state. It's really to poke and to prod and to sort of torture, if you will, the country of Serbia that's traditionally allied with Russia. That's the whole point of Kosovo. It's to divide and rule in the Balkans. As if breaking up Yugoslavia wasn't enough, they had to further weaken Serbia by slicing off literally the spiritual homeland of the Serbs, which is in Kosovo, Pristina. That's where their history is.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
Tell me about it. Did you have any idea that was going on?
None. I mean, you saw Derek at the game last night, too. Did you have a clue?
No. But you know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do. Kids hear first about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
It can be hard to tell sometimes, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, bullying, violence, anything, you need to tell an adult. Mom or me, a teacher, coach, school counselor, someone you know and trust.
Dad, no kid is gonna tell an adult about that kind of stuff.
I get it, but if we don't know, we can't help. Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey there, this is TNT Radio. You are listening to The Misty Winston Show, and our guest today is the lovely Stephanie Zamorano. She's a former teacher and union member. She's also a hilarious comedian and producer for The Jimmy Dore Show. You can actually find her out on tour with Jimmy with upcoming dates in Syracuse, Cohoes, New York, Hartford, Connecticut, Los Angeles, Bakersfield, Baltimore, and more. You can find more information and a link for tickets at jimmydore.com. Hey, Steph, thanks for being here.
Ah, Misty, I'm already enjoying the show. What? Oh, holy good. Smokes. Talking about RFK. Oh my goodness. You know, I have to say that I want somebody to come get my vote. That's where I am. Come and get my vote. What do you, what are you offering my America? What are you offering my brothers and sisters? And, you know, I was talking to a friend about RFK Jr. And she was saying, listen, you know I'm not going to be agreeing with him on everything. And I want to know everything about him. I want to know where he stands on everything. Send me all the information possible. And I think I'm seeing a lot of people around me that aren't so like into RFK Jr. Yeah. You know, like they're healthy hesitation I'm seeing from people. You know, I'm not seeing like this immediate, you know, you were talking about hero worship in our culture, you know, and that's human nature, I think, hero worship.
For sure.
but hero worship for billionaires, that's a whole nother thing. I don't get it. But regarding RFK Jr.'s response to the Israel-Palestinian crisis that's ongoing for decades, that it wasn't good enough.
No. And Steph, listen, like you just said, I'm okay. I'm done with the Democratic Party. The fact that he's running as a Democrat is I'm done. Like, I'm already done with you. There is no conversation to be had. But I don't begrudge anybody that wants to support him, but you can support him and also push him on these issues. Israel-Palestine is a major issue, especially for anybody who cares about human rights and for freedom and all of that stuff. That should be a huge issue. And I think so many people are too willing to turn a blind eye to these things, and they don't want to hold their favorite people accountable. And you can do both. You can support him and still push him to be better. And I think a lot of people are missing that, and it's really frustrating.
You know, I just think that he's shaking things up, and that's appealing to me, is somebody who's challenging the power structure of the Democratic Party. Great. That's great. Why do it in the context of the Democratic Party? Because the Democratic Party that, let's say that he once believed in, like he goes, okay, you know, the party from like, what, the 60s? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what party he's really talking about, you know, or is this kind of a fictionalization of that party? So, my point would be that why run in the Democratic Party?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Why?
I don't understand. I don't think he's made that case other than family loyalty. Oh, I just don't get it.
No, that's not a good reason. And it's definitely not a good reason given the fact that we now have the DNC fraud lawsuit where the Democratic Party went into a court of law and they said, listen, we'll choose whoever we want and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's the reality. I mean, they're already talking about the fact that they're not even going to allow debate, Steph. No debate. Like, you don't even get a choice. You don't even get to see other candidates. We're just going to force feed you Joe Biden or whoever takes over for Joe Biden should he end up being not capable of running again, which.
Well, I'm hoping it's Kamala Harris.
I would look forward to 4 years of you doing Kamala Harris. I would look forward to that.
I know all I do is like just make funny faces. So
that's all you have to do.
Now, yes, you know, because her script writes herself. But with RFK Jr., like just alone knowing that they are not going to make available any kind of debate, is that the party you want to belong to?
Right? Exactly.
I don't understand that. Jimmy and I and all, you know, we always say, you know, our country is filled with, you know, what are we, adult children of alcoholics, you know? And so we're ignoring the you know, the big problem in our country, you know, and the big problem seems to be, there's not a party that's a voice of the people.
Yeah. Our government is completely owned and operated by corporations at this point. And you're right. There's no party of the people. There's no voice for the people. In fact, they silence all of us on a regular basis in various different ways. And that's what's so frustrating. Like, because I like RFK Jr. on a lot of, like he said, I will free Julian Assange on day one. Obviously, that's appealing to me. I mean, that's great. Fantastic. But it's really difficult for me to think that he's going to have the courage to do that and to stand up to the deep state and to the CIA when he can't even stand up to Israel. Israel. I mean, he can't, this should be a very simple issue. And you don't have to even trash Israel publicly, but you can bring to light the fact that they are, conducting themselves in a manner in which should not be acceptable to anybody. They are an apartheid state. They are brutalized, as we just heard from that clip from Claire Daly. They are completely brutalizing the Palestinian people. There's open air prisons. There's a complete separation. It is absurd that anybody can look at what's going on in Israel and in Palestine objectively and not criticize that. And I think Israel has been able to hide behind these smears of, if you criticize the government of Israel, then you are anti-Semitic. That is just not the case. That is a ridiculous assertion. And the more people play into it, the longer that continues. And that's what I find so frustrating about his response. I hope I'm wrong. And I hope that he is pliable and that he is open to information and to changing his position on that. I would encourage, and that's why I'm encouraging all of his support. If you support him, pressure him, push him to do better. If he is open to that sort of thing, if he is receptive to his base, then he hopefully will listen to you and he will amend his position. I don't know that that's the case. As he said, listen, this dude comes from a long line of Israel supporters. I don't think he's going to change his position on this. But if you are an RFK Jr. supporter, it's okay to support him and also push him to do better. We should all be doing that. Okay, we should take a quick break to get a couple headlines.
Let's do it.
I mean, that's basic. It should be basic, right? Okay, let's take a couple minutes and get a couple quick headlines, and then we will be right back with Steph right after this on TNT Radio.
What brings you here?
News Talk Radio.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check in today's headlines. FBI Director Christopher Wray has confirmed the existence of a document alleging that President Joe Biden engaged in a criminal bribery scheme with a foreign national, according to Republicans on the House Oversight and Accountability Committee. Meta has threatened to remove news from Facebook and Instagram in California if the state passes a law that would force large platforms to pay a journalism usage fee. A 12-year-old girl and a 17-year-old boy have died after being pulled from the sea off Bournemouth Pier.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Get stuck in our web. That's right. This is the Misty Winston Show. We're here with Steph Zamorano. I also wanted to just talk to you about the election in general, not necessarily specifically about RFK. But Steph, it is June 1st of 2023, and we are already like chest deep in election season. Can you believe how ridiculously drawn out this process is?
Well, you know, what else are they going to do? Are they going to talk about giving us national health care? Are they going to have that real conversation about the homeless? Why is it the only person who's talking about solving the issue of homelessness is Donald Trump? You got to be kidding me.
Oh, can you believe that? Who would have thought, right?
Well, you know, I'll tell you right now that it's all just a game. You can all tell that. You know, so Roe versus Wade is overturned. And now what can the Democrats campaign on? Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. You know, Obama was going to codify it. And then everybody goes, hey, wait a minute. I don't know if he could have codified it in the first place. Blah, 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 blah. Why don't we turn this all over to the states to manage this issue? You know, and I find it pretty terrifying. And, you know, this goes back to force the vote.
Yes.
To force the vote when we were all together challenging the power structure and saying, bring Medicare, withhold your support, progressives, of Nancy Pelosi, withhold it. And make sure to use that leverage to bring Medicare for All to a vote so we could all see what the flip is going on in America and why didn't they do it. And the reason why I bring this up is you're talking about election season. Well, election season also means how much are they going to get people to donate to them?
Mm-hmm.
The constant pressure to donate. You know, Bernie Sanders cracked it and he goes, you know, give me whatever you can, a dollar, great. And they all jumped on board for that. And so I recently got an email blast from my favorite representative, you can already guess who it is, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
And they wrote me and they let me know, like, Alexandria is the youngest woman in the U.S. history to be elected to Congress. She was a waitress. She is a Latina. She comes from low-income background, is now one of just a few working class people elected to Congress. That all could be very true. Okay. She certainly
I have my doubts
that she's a working class person or has those experiences. Now they go on to say that makes a lot of sense. A lot of classist, ageist, misogynist, and racist people mad. Her accomplishments make all these people mad. But together with your support, we've built a movement fighting for transformative change. What the flip? And then the very next thing she says in this blast is, from Medicare for all to democratizing fundraising power in politics. What a bunch of baloney.
What?
And yes, and then they go on and say, AOC and our movement are often labeled extreme. Here's what they
Oh my God.
Here's what they think makes us extreme. Hold on to your pants. AOC believes in Medicare for all, aka guaranteed health care in the United States. All right. Let's just stop there with bullet number one. Didn't you do an event the same day that AOC and Nina Turner were at an event? What was that event? And what was that event?
That event was a march for Medicare for all, funnily enough. Interestingly enough, and we were in fact in Columbus, Ohio, which is just a little under 2 hours away from Nina Turner's district. So it would have been less than a 2 hour drive for the both of them to come and join us at the March for Medicare for All. They did not come, I will just say.
I don't get it. That's her first bullet. Know what? Let me correct it. It says AOC believes in Medicare for All. That doesn't mean anything.
No.
That really doesn't mean anything.
No.
The next one is AOC operate. Okay. This is why they hate her. Okay. Bullet number two. AOC operates independently from either party's establishment. So she is willing to challenge Democratic Party leadership and, when necessary, break from the party line. Okay, when is that necessary? When Nancy Pelosi tells you it was, okay, you can vote against this. All right, you can go on record, you know, saying nay to this vote. Okay,
yes.
And her final one was, our movement does not believe in late stage capitalism or that prioritizing the extreme pursuit of profit at any and all human environmental costs will save us. AOC believes, I don't understand this. She believes in a cooperative economics and cooperative democracy, AKA democratic socialism.
Oh, that's some funny stuff. Steph, first of all, I wonder if her standing up to the Democratic Party establishment includes getting scolded by Nancy Pelosi on the House floor as she votes for the Iron Dome. I wonder if that is included in standing up to the Democratic Party establishment. When? I would just like anybody out there, I'm open to it. One time, show me one time that she's actually stood up to the Democratic Party establishment. I would love to see it. I would be happy to be wrong. I don't think it exists, right? I really do not think. And the force of vote thing stuff, that made me so angry because, listen, that shouldn't have even been a conversation that we could have, because no progressive on planet Earth should have ever even been considering voting for Nancy Pelosi in the first place. So, you know what I mean? Like the idea that they wouldn't even withhold their vote in order to get, and you know, a floor vote on Medicare for all. I don't think any of us were under the delusion that that was going to pass. Of course it was not going to pass. That was not the point. And then the way that they openly smeared Jimmy and other people who were supportive of force the vote, and the way that they tried to minimize the effectiveness of it or the point of it. And the way that AOC said, oh, we can't do force the vote because we're $15 an hour is more doable. And then when the $15 an hour came up for a fight, they also didn't fight for that either. Weird, right?
Exactly. And then, you know, I'm from the state of California, and I'm lucky enough to have Senator Feinstein still in D.C. That's really exciting for me. You know, it's not like she's confused or anything like that.
It's weekend at Bernie's.
Or she's disoriented, or that she's physically delicate, or that... Isn't the end of her term 2024?
Is like it? Oh,
new,
no.
I think the new term would begin 2025, actually. So I don't know how long they really... Maybe somebody can look that up for us, but I'm pretty sure the term would end. So
that's crazy.
So, I, you know, I want to go to the point of that she doesn't know where she is. She, it was noted that when she had seen Kamala Harris preside, that she didn't understand why Kamala Harris was there. Unlike, you know, and I would say most of America doesn't know why Kamala Harris is there either.
Yeah.
You know, that this woman, okay, so this woman has the best healthcare that money can buy as an elected official in Congress, the best healthcare. But what she also needs is Nancy Pelosi's daughter to make sure she stays well. You know, it's her daughter that's taking care of her. And yes, it's,
for sure.
It's like, what's her name? It's like Nora or something like that. And it's just like Nancy Corrine Prouda. That's what it is. And it's like, so nobody sees that this is completely elder abuse.
Yes.
And that just shows you the greed and the power. Even though Dianne Feinstein is elderly and doesn't know where she is and confused, she still wants to stay there, no matter how confused, just like Joe Biden. He still wants to stay there.
Yes.
And so
that's elder abuse too.
And then I would just say this regarding all the, what are they called? The gerontocracy in our government right now. Isn't it interesting with all these people that are very ill, you know, demented, frail, unable to fulfill their positions? Isn't it interesting there's no conversation of elder care in America?
Yeah, that's a great point, Steph. I hadn't even thought about that. That is a great point.
It's my biggest issue. It's my biggest issue right now because don't we have the largest population of elderly because of the baby boomers? And then you have who's going to take care of them? Look at how thinly we are stretched financially just to care for our own family. And now,
well, how many videos have we seen, Steph, of like 92-year-old people working at Whole Foods because they had to leave retirement because they can't afford to live? That is completely absurd. And the idea that is something that takes place, it makes me so angry. There's a little old lady who works at the Target in my town, which I know, don't come for me. I know Target's under hot fire, whatever. But there's a little old lady that works at Target. And every time I see her, it breaks my heart. She's got to be in her like late 80s and she's still working a job because she can't afford to live on her retirement. Is completely absurd. Okay, we have to take another quick break. Hang tight, everybody. We're going to be right back with more from Steph right after this, right here on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Hey, did you see the massive media coverage of what happened in Chicago over Memorial Day weekend? ABC 7 Chicago reports that at least 53 people had been shot. 11 of those citizens died. The shooting victims, they range in age from 2 to 77 years old, representing every part of the city. Yet be hard-pressed to find reporting on any of this outside of the Chicago media. You know why? Because these shootings weren't committed with an AR-15. The shooters weren't white supremacists. They weren't wearing Trump or MAGA caps. So the left-wing activist-filled phony media couldn't care less. We don't need to know the name of the 2-year-old who was shot or the 77-year-old or any of the 11 who had their lives taken from them by thugs with guns. It doesn't matter to the media. But if even one of these 53 was shot by a quote-unquote right-winger, you'd know all about it. By the way, these Memorial Day weekend numbers top last year's, which were the worst in 5 years in Chicago, with 9 killed and 42 wounded. The only thing that will make this better in all cities around the country, mandatory sentences for crimes committed with guns. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is the Misty Winston Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. We are here with Stephanie Zamorano, who is a hilarious comedian. She's on tour currently with Jimmy Dore. They have dates coming up in all kinds of cities across the country. Syracuse Coast, New York, Hartford, Los Angeles, Bakersfield, Baltimore, all over the place. You can go to jimmydore.com for tickets and more information. Okay, Steph, talk a little bit more about this, because I had really not even considered the fact that we have this boomer population, that they're aging, and we have absolutely no system in place for elderly care. So, that's a great point. Great point.
So look what happened during COVID. So we had all our elderly members of our society in these elder care homes, and then they suffered.
Yes.
So what I want to see is I want to see innovation regarding elder care. Like, I think if we could do, there used to be a thing called Teach for America. That's just a basic model. And Teach for America was young college grads. I think they may have finished college, and they could go and dedicate 2 to 4 years. I'm not sure what the time period is, school districts that may have a struggling population. Okay, whatever, right? So I love that idea that you give back to your community. And I'm thinking, why not? How can there has to be something here. I haven't figured out the economics of it. But who do we train for these positions? Are we going to actually train people? Should we give those people training that are going to take care of our elder, pay for their training? And so we actually have an educated population of caregivers that will be giving back to the elder community. Because if we saw what happened during, the devastating pandemic, and I see what's happening to my friends around me, where their parents are old, and they have, one parent wanted to, she was 87 years old, and she was done. And she wanted, just her son to put a pillow over her face.
Oh,
This is some serious stuff that families are facing. And that's very dark, and that's very painful. But
it's real.
We're all going to be taking care of our parents.
Yep.
And, if we have that kind of relationship, and come on, we're seeing right now Dianne Feinstein completely debilitated, being pushed around. How is my neighbor going to care for their parents? So I believe there has to be something now for the next president of the United States to implement. And I still don't understand. I don't understand this. Somebody has to explain it to me. Why do corporations want to pay for their employees' health care? Why aren't corporations screaming at the top of their lungs, national health care, pay their bills? I don't understand that.
I think, honestly, Steph, I think it's because if people are tied in, you are basically stuck in your job, and that is how they are able to maintain, then they can have a crappy working environment, and they can have unsafe working environments, and they can, they can pay you to, not enough, and you have to stay, because if you leave your job, you lose your healthcare. And I think that that's a huge part of it. I think it's probably the cost analysis that's probably to their benefit to just pay for healthcare and then make sure that they maintain their workforce through kind of coercion. You're stuck. If you have a family, you can't leave your job. It's not possible. You have to have another one lined up. And even then, there's that gap period where you may not be eligible for healthcare at your new job for, a few months, 6 months, whatever it is. And so people are, I know so many people right now who are only at their job still. They hate their job. They can't stand it. They hate going to work every day, but they can't leave because they have a family and they have to have healthcare. And I think that that's
by design.
Part of it. Yes.
Right.
100%. Yes.
I wanted to go back to Dianne Feinstein really quickly, because everybody asks this kind of stuff. Like, what has she accomplished? What have her accomplishments been in office? Right. And so you can go and you type it in, and it goes feinstein.senate.gov, and they'll give you a list. And so I'm looking at the list. And so, in 2014, Senator Feinstein oversaw a 6-year review of the CIA's detention and interrogation program, culminating in a December 2014 release of the report's executive summary and subsequent anti-torture legislation.
So she was able to do a report on CIA torture in 2014 for anti-torture legislation. So I guess we're not torturing any longer, but aren't we? You know, yeah. She has something. She also has, then she gets this, banning torture in 2015. Legislation drafted by Feinstein and Senator John McCain to prevent torture of detainees in U.S. custody was signed into law. Okay, that's pretty great stuff. I'm sure they've been able to follow through with that. Not at all. So a lot of her stuff is like kind of like countering the California drought. How do you counter what? Here's a good one. So she has a lot of preventing foreign powers from acquiring sensitive U.S. technology in 2018. Confronting the opioid epidemic. So these aren't really things she's done, everybody. These are things like she's like pontificated about.
Yes.
But, you know, there's not the kind of follow through that you
I think that a lot of politicians do that. I think that they they're like, oh, hey, I stood up against this thing. They didn't actually do anything. No legislation was written. Nothing was done. There was no fight. There was no call to arms. There was nothing. It's like the strongly worded letter. You know what I mean?
Yes, basically, it is. Her most recent one is in 2022, which I think it's really wonderful. It's protecting marriage equality. We've got that going for us in California. Well, the bill passed both chambers in Congress in November 22, signed into law by Biden. So, you know, the Democrats are really getting stuff done, and I couldn't be prouder of that party.
Yeah, they're really knocking it out of the park. It's a really great time for the Democratic Party. I mean, they're a hot mess. And we were talking about this the other day because a lot of people think that Joe Biden's not going to be the eventual nominee. Obviously, he's in terrible condition. He can't finish or he can't form a coherent sentence. He can't find his way out of a room. He fell today on stage again. And so a lot of people think that he's probably not going to, I don't know if they can drag him to that finish line. But we've been discussing it. Like, who do they have? They don't have a very deep bench. Like, there's nobody. There is absolutely nobody who has any kind of support. Michelle Obama has been tossed around a lot, and I think that that is a potential. The whole Obama cult, they will follow her.
She was going to run with Biden. I said, hey, if you want a winning ticket, I think it's Michelle Obama and Joe Biden.
For sure. But she's very popular. I don't like her, but she is very popular. I mean, if you look at it objectively, I think that she would definitely pull in a lot of votes. Honestly, Steph, I'm not convinced that they're not going to try to run Hillary Clinton again. I hate to say that out loud because I don't want to like summon the beast, but I would not be surprised. She desperately wants to be the first female president. And I'm not sure that she would be very, I mean, Kamala Harris would really have to watch her back if she was actually going to be. And Kamala Harris would never win an election. She couldn't even win her home state. She had to drop out to avoid being embarrassed in her home state. So I don't know who they're going to run. If they can get Joe Biden to that point, I don't know. I just think it's going to be, listen, because I don't care. I'm completely divorced from electoral politics. I don't think it's a viable means for substantive change. The system is completely rigged. So I'm kind of divorced myself from caring, really. And so now it's just entertainment value, like watching Trump beat up on DeSantis and watching, you know, Marianne Williamson try to pretend as if she's a serious candidate and all of that stuff. That's entertaining. That's really all it is at this point. It's, you know, kind of a soap opera with psychopaths. It's basically what it is now.
Yes, totally agree. I did not know about Joe Biden falling on stage.
Just today.
The Air Force graduation. I didn't know that. But did you hear what? Oh, how about that Zelensky was at, what school did he give that commencement speech?
My mind just went blank.
It wasn't Harvard, right?
No, I don't think so. It was one of the bigger, like, fancy schools, though. It might have been Harvard. I'm not sure. Hold on, I can look it up. Zelensky.
John Hopkins.
That's what it was. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so they show the video of him speaking to the student body, and the student body all stood up. It looked.
I know.
And I was like, wow. I don't think they should get their diplomas.
Seriously, though.
I mean, are they all celebrating war? What do they this man represents?
I don't know. They think he represents like the protection of the Ukrainian people. And he's some, I mean, that's the way that he has been pushed. Like the propaganda in this country is Zelensky is a hero and he's so brave and courageous and he's on Vanity Fair. And he, you know what I mean? Like he's making appearances at the Grammys. I mean, he's in the middle of a war and somehow he has time to do Vanity Fair cover shoots and appear at the Grammys. That seems weird to me. I don't know. If I'm at war and I'm a president of a country, I'm probably going to be busy. Seems like. I don't know.
Right. But, you know, I was just hoping that he would be on Dancing with the Stars this next season.
He might be, Steph. He might be. I could totally see that happen. I don't know. Is Dancing with the Stars still a thing? I don't know. If it is, I think he's a contender for next season, for sure.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Definitely. I would actually love to see that. I'd like to see
him and Nancy Pelosi.
Oh my God. I mean, Zelensky did once play piano with his penis on stage. So you know, maybe he's got some dance moves.
I did not want to tune in for that.
No, you don't.
That wasn't the thing that I was going to look into at all. So, no. You know, it's interesting. I did not know this about Ron DeSantis or like it escaped at whatever that he was a lawyer in Gitmo.
Yes, he was. Mansoor Daifi, who is a former Guantanamo detainee. I've interviewed him on the show. I'm friends with him. Nice. He has a fantastic book out. Everybody should get it. If you want to go back to the TNT archives, I interviewed him last year. He did an interview with Mike Prisner, I think, on Eyes Left, and he talked about DeSantis and that DeSantis was there. He 100% witnessed torture taking place. They were force feeding the prisoners with Ensure and all kinds of terrible things that I won't get into here. But please go and check out the Eyes Left podcast with Mansoor Adaifi. It is horrific, and he has been calling him out publicly now since he is announced for president, and that is who DeSantis is. I mean, there's a lot of people who do the hero worship thing with him as well because he was, okay on COVID. And so a lot of people are giving him a whole lot of credit. He's not a good person. I mean, he's just not. He's not.
Oh.
So, yes.
Yeah. He's not a good person. And I don't think enough people know about this part of him.
No.
It's pretty sinister. Right.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I should probably get Mansoor back on the show to talk about it. It's really heavy stuff, though. I mean, the Eyes Left podcast, he goes into pretty specific detail about the different things that were done to them. It is and we talked a little bit about his experience in Guantanamo when he was here last time, but we didn't really get into this DeSantis stuff. But it is, I mean, his book and Mansoor is such an amazing human being. He has such crazy to me that he's been able to maintain such a positive attitude. He holds he says openly, I hold no ill will to the people who tortured me. I don't have that kind of forgiveness in me, Steph. I just don't.
I don't know how you get there. I mean, that is something else. That's at a higher level than I'm certainly at. You know,
he's
definitely
evolved more than me
off on the freeway.
Me too. And I don't know that I could forgive somebody who literally tortured me day after day, year after year, as I was being held wrongly imprisoned in a torture facility. I just don't think I have that level of forgiveness in me. So he is a much better person than I will ever be. He's great, though. He is really fantastic. So, I mean, everybody, I think the book's called Don't Forget Us Here. Wow. And it is, it's a very interesting book.
Heavy.
Jimmy should have him on. I mean, Mansoor does interviews. I'm sure he would love to talk about the Ron DeSantis stuff. And he is an amazing guy. So I'm sure Jimmy would love having a conversation with him. And Jimmy has a massive platform. So that would be, as you said, not enough people know about this side of Ron DeSantis. I think that would be excellent.
Great. Send me the info. Let's get that handled. That sounds good.
Yes. I would love to see that happen.
As far as Memorial Day went, you know, I still think our country could be better at it by really taking care of our people in the military. Do we have anybody who's the Secretary of Peace?
No, we do not. I mean, Marianne Williamson has talked about having the Department of Peace or whatever. It's hard to take her seriously though, on anything. But yes, the idea that we have a Department of quote unquote defense, which is really just a Department of obliteration and war and torture, is laughable. And yeah, and we definitely need to do a better job in this country of, first of all, we should stop sending them to kill innocent people in third world countries to steal resources. That would be a good start. Let's start there.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's very frustrating.
Yes, you know, Marianne Williamson is an interesting person, and she has some interesting ideas and thoughtfulness and, you know, compassionate. And then I was listening to one of the shows that she was doing on the Revolutionary Blackout Network. And she said, you know, we all have our truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. Truth is like a kaleidoscope.
Yes.
No, Marianne.
No.
Truth is not truth a is kaleidoscope. Truth is just truth.
No. Definitely not. Okay, so we are out of time, unfortunately. Steph, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you guys are busy and touring and all that stuff. You can follow Steph on Twitter at MiserableLib. Check them out on tour. Go to JimmyDore.com for all the information, links, dates, all that good stuff. And I'll be back with another show for you tomorrow. As Julian Assange says, learn, challenge, act now, and don't go anywhere. Timothy Shea is coming up for you right after this here on TNT Radio.